Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm. A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends at Montana Public Radio and public media across the spectrum, bringing you the regional news for the day. It's Friday, the 15th of May, 2026. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. Tariffs issued under emergency declarations last May disrupted Montana's businesses' relationships with foreign partners. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler reports a year later, they're still causing wide-scale uncertainty.
Tariffs enacted by President Donald Trump have been ruled an overreach of power. As the fallout spurs further economic uncertainty, more than $160 billion in tariffs is due in refunds to businesses and taxpayers. Head of Montana World Trade Center, Brigitta Miranda Freer, says despite the court rulings on tariffs, the effects remain.
It's kind of the same net effect for businesses, right? It's constant change in trying to field whatever the latest policy tool is, right? It's just constant change.
Montana's global exports fell 13% between 2024 and 2025, the first decline in 5 years. At a recent Montana World Trade Center conference, industry experts and stakeholders re-emphasized foreign subnational relationships as vital to withstanding tariff turbulence. Representatives from dominant state industries like critical minerals, manufacturing, and agriculture iterated that cross-border investments can still happen. A Canadian consul even spoke, affirming Canada's interest in maintaining relationships with Montana businesses. Governor Greg Gianforte says the state has a place in the global market. He noted that 35% of his software company's revenue came from outside the U.S. last year.
These are good trading partners for us. Whether it's energy or technology or agricultural products, Montana is part of a global economy and we need to be expanding those relationships.
U.S. tariff policy has changed more than 50 times since President Trump took office. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
Warm temperatures, dry conditions, and gusty winds are challenging wildland firefighters as they work to control the 257-acre Spread Creek wildfire in the Black Rock Ranger District of the Bridger-Teton National Forest in western Wyoming. Firefighting officials are asking the public to not use the Hatchet and Flagstaff roads as hotshot and initial attack fire crews, fire engines, and helicopter work to knock down flames in the sage and grass. The Spread Creek fire is lightning caused. It is 5% contained as of this morning. Closed roads, multiple vehicle crashes, and blowover warnings are the travel conditions in eastern Montana, thanks to gusty winds up to 60 to 70 miles an hour. YPR's Kay Erickson reports on a windy Thursday in the region.
Blowing dust closed down U.S. Highway 2 from Dotson in Phillips County to the North Dakota border, as well as highways in Macon and Richland counties. Visibility is down to 100 feet or less and has caused multiple vehicle pileups across eastern Montana. Richland County officials are recommending people stay in town until this blows over. The Montana Transportation Department issued blowover warnings for high-profile vehicles traveling in much of central and south-central section of the state, including Interstate 15 from north of Great Falls to the border with Canada, Interstate 90 from Livingston east to Reed Point, as well as U.S. Highways 191, 87, 89, and 2. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
A federal judge allowed undocumented immigrant Roberto Orozco Ramirez to be released. Montana Public Radio spoke with Montana PBS reporter Matt Standel to learn more.
Matt, the state has been watching this case closely. What happened that led to his release?
So Orozco Ramirez's case is really a culmination of about 5 months of legal proceedings. They were able to successfully argue that Orozco Ramirez just was not given due process rights.
Yeah, we're hearing the way that the federal government processes these cases has changed, and that's coming into play here. Can you tell us more?
Last year, the Trump administration passed a new level of guidance for immigration authorities and federal prosecutors that pretty much put people like Roberto on a lower level of due process rights than they had normally enjoyed. And so the crucial difference here is Roberta was able to be locked up for nearly 5 months because of this sort of nebulous guidance that has no bearing in Congress or the Supreme Court. It's sort of guidance from the Trump administration. And Roberta's lawyers were successfully able to argue that that's illegal, it's wrong, and that's ultimately what allowed him to be freed.
Now, you were there for that reunion. Tell us a little bit what that looked like.
If there's one word I could use to describe when Orozco Ramirez was actually let out of jail after 5 months, it would be relief. His son surprised him. Roberto didn't know that his son would come and be there for when his dad got out of jail. And it was a great emotional moment. There was tears, and they got the heck out of the jail parking lot. They're going back to Freud.
So now that Orozco Ramirez has been reunited with his family and is heading back to Freud, what comes next for him in this case?
Roberto Orozco Ramirez's attorneys tell me that he's still got a long legal battle ahead of him. And we're talking something that might be 2 to 3 years in length.
Well, thank you, Matt. We appreciate this update. Thanks for giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Montana's Labor Department projects a need to fill more than 4,000 jobs in education and childcare each year, mostly due to workers leaving the industry. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amestoy has highlights from the report.
Below average pay, stagnant wage growth, a lack of qualified candidates for jobs. All three are key challenges facing the education and childcare sector in Montana. That's according to the State Labor Department's new analysis of the industry. Commissioner Sarah Swanson puts it this way.
Education and childcare is one of those critical sectors of our economy where we project chronic ongoing workforce shortages over the next 10 years if we don't intervene.
Montana's teachers and daycare workers earn $12,000 less than the statewide average wage, according to the data. The industry is adding jobs at a sluggish pace and losing workers far faster. Swanson says the Labor Department is counting on new apprenticeship programs to train new teachers. It's launching a program to do that later this year, but she acknowledges it's only one part of a solution. The challenge is even more acute in the childcare sector. The state reports childcare capacity meets less than half the demand in Montana. The average wage for a daycare worker, $26,500. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amestoy.
Recently, the auto sales industry was flush with articles on California's crackdown on the Montana loophole, a paperwork convenience that allows high-end car owners to avoid robust tax systems. The Montana loophole, according to the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, or CDTFA, is a scheme where buyers create out-of-state limited liability companies, or LLCs, to register their high-end automobiles to avoid paying California taxes and fees. In our recent story, California government agencies were, quote, targeting high-end automobile dealers and their customers through investigations and audits, end quote. That story drew a response from listener and Montana registered agent Michael D'Amato.
It felt like it was aiming a little bit at our industry and didn't really give a full picture of all of the economic benefits that we bring to the state of Montana.
We reached out to D'Amato to hear his story.
All of these people who use our services, pretty much none of them will ever drive on our roads. So when you're based in a small community like Glendive or Havre, and you have huge distances to drive to Billings or wherever you need to get your medical care, our clients are helping to pay for those roads. Our clients are helping to pay for the Montana Highway Patrol that oversees those highways and ensures everyone's safety.
You can hear the full interview with Montana registered agents Michael D'Amato and Britta Seck at ypradio.org. All but one of Montana's seven largest cities added new residents last year. That's according to data released by the U.S. Census Bureau Thursday. Billings, the state's largest city, lost about 200 residents. Meanwhile, Kalispell added more than 600, a 2% increase in population in a single year. Helena, Bozeman, Missoula, Great Falls, and Butte all experienced positive growth as well. Montana is adding a phone app alongside its hotline as a way to report human trafficking. Attorney General Austin Knutson announced the new tool in a news release earlier this month. The app, Simply Report, is operated by national nonprofit Safe House Project, which uses AI to accept tips from members of the public. According to the Safe House Project website, fewer than 1% of all children trafficked every year in the U.S. receive the help they need. The app takes users to a chat where they can plug in information that the program processes and shares to a dashboard monitored by the Montana Department of Justice. The agency also accepts reports through its hotline 1-833-406-STOP. Tippett Rise is sharing registration details for this year's collaborations with two of the long-standing regional partners. Geo-Paleo Tours of Tippett Rise will take place Thursdays, June 25th, July 2nd, 9th, and 23rd. Led by members of the Yellowstone Bighorn Research Association's faculty, the specialized van tours educate attendees about the unique combination of geologic wonders that can be found at Tippett Rise. Tours begin at 9 in the morning. They last approximately 2.5 hours. Montana Insight Theater's fifth production at Tippett Rise, Resounding Spring, Words and Notes on the Rise, is inspired by Rachel Carson's landmark 1962 environmental science book, Silent Spring. Audiences will walk among multiple locations within the Cottonwood campus for this immersive experience featuring music, poetry, dance, and dramatic scenes. Four separate tours will be offered on Saturday and Sunday, June 27th and 28th, each lasting approximately 90 minutes. Registration is required and available at tippettrise.org. Kids who love history have a chance to spend their summer immersed in it as a volunteer at the Moss Mansion and the Western Heritage Center. YPR's Kay Erickson reports.
For 10 weeks each summer, six students learn about customer service and the behind-the-scenes workings at two local Billings Museum cultural resources. They learn about the artifacts while gaining interpersonal skills, starting with the job interview, says volunteer manager Megan Hansen at the Moss.
So we do have a very informal interview process, which is pretty good for them too, to kind of learn how to come in and talk to an adult and answer questions about themselves and why they want to do something like this.
The selected students are split up, with five at the Moss Mansion and five at the Western Heritage Center. After 5 weeks, they switch locations. In August, each student will select an artifact to showcase at an end-of-summer event.
They write a little placard with information about that artifact, kind of why they're interested in it, and they always pick some really interesting stuff. And then we do a little exhibit at the end of the summer at the Western Heritage Center.
Online applications are due by Friday, May 25th. The program begins June 8th. In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
That's it for The Worm. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have The Weekend Worm for you on Saturday morning.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.